Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. Ramadan Mubarak. It is Ramadan, the month-long religious tradition in which, as part of their spiritual practice, observant Muslims do not eat between dawn and sunset. Food, then, takes on a special and often celebratory meaning during this holy month. And the food prepared during Ramadan, whether it's sahur, the pre-sunrise meal before the fast begins, or iftar, the meal eaten to break the fast, reflects the diversity of the Muslim diaspora here in the Bay. So, for this installment of All You Can Eat with Luke Tsai, we talk with Bay Area Muslims about how they mark this time, how they break fast, and what it's like to keep your restaurant open overnight for that pre-fast meal. That's all coming up next, after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. It may seem counterintuitive to do a food show during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, but for many families, Ramadan is a time of togetherness that brings out particular and beloved culinary traditions. Getting up earlier than the sun to eat a special omelet or gathering around a community table to break the fast, these rituals form the backbone of a month devoted to inner contemplation and community improvement. And the American Muslim community is composed of people from all over the world, which means that meals like this can both be a way of passing culture down, but also passing it across different communities within the faith. So this morning, of course, we're joined by Luke Tsai, who is part of our program here, All You Can Eat by Luke Tsai. Welcome, Luke.
Thanks so much, Alexis.
And we've got two excellent restaurateurs. We're joined by friend of the show, Reem Asil, chef, author, activist. She's the owner of Reem's California, and she's the author of our beloved cookbook, Arabia, and a James Beard nominee for Outstanding Chef. Welcome, Reem.
Thanks for having me.
So good to have you back. We also are joined by Hisham Abdel Fattan, founder and owner of El Halal Amigos, a Mexican restaurant located in the Willow Glen neighborhood in San Jose. Welcome, Hisham.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good, good, good. So I want to start out with your own traditions, you know, either, and we'll start with you, either, you know, the ones you grew up with in your family of origin or ones you've adopted around this month. Like, talk to me about those traditions.
Yeah, when I think of Ramadan, It's twofold. One, those early morning wake-ups. And every other part of the year, my family never sat together for a meal for breakfast. But during the month of Ramadan, as hard as it was as a high school student being dragged out of bed at sunrise, and nobody is really talking to each other, trying to get the coffee going. But as we sit down and get sustenance in our body, it's just this really amazing feeling of family, especially for, you know, the fast pace of growing up in the U.S. It's really nice. And then the second,
Was there a
actually
food?
Our,
was there a particular thing where you're like, okay,
you know, it was very different. Like, if my mom really wanted to go all out, we would have the like Arabic food that I remember the most was, ful, which is a fava bean stew with bread, obviously. Can't have an Arab table without bread. And, you know, some sort of eggs with fried cheese. And then if, you know, we were more in a rush, it was cereal. And I would do 3-4 bowls of it. Yeah, but the other memory I have is really the potlucks on the weekends. Whether we were, people would take turns doing iftar because it's really an endeavor with the fast pace of growing up in the U.S. to have like a full-on meal. So people would switch off in the community and host potlucks, and we would go to people's homes, but also in the mosque. I grew up in a very multicultural mosque, so I remember actually not Arab food, but Pakistani food. A lot of the folks who went to my mosque. So I remember just big heaps of biryani and stews and roti and those kind of things. So those were really fun memories of growing up with in this month.
Yeah, and that multicultural nature is also just kind of a big part of the Muslim American experience in most places, it seems like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hisham, how about you? Either, you know, once you remember from childhood or once you've, you know, created yourself.
Definitely. To piggyback on what Reem has said, I share very similar experiences. A lot of what I, during Ramadan, is the educational fact of it, being here on the West Coast in California, multicultural, but, you know, never feeling never feeling alone, but being amongst family and the fasting growing up, going to a high school, going to middle school, public schools, and everybody's like, oh, you can't drink water, you can't eat. And, you know, but then being able to educate why I'm not doing those things and learning from what my father has taught me about Ramadan and why we do it, it's so beautiful to say and to give your body a break and to be spiritual with God, with Allah. And then going home and being excited to get home, family gathering around the table, you know, we got things like lebnah and hummus and pita bread and, you know, you smell the food and you feel excited, you pray together. It's just a really peaceful time. And it's really nostalgic in that way. And then of course, piggybacking with what Reem said, going to the mosque and, you know, and everyone, all these multicultural people coming together and eating together, being together. It's a lot of fun. It's fun.
Yeah. That's a piece of it that I really love. And, you know, I mean, you grew up in a family, Filipino, Palestinian. For this time of year, did you make like adobo? Like, or did you go with more Palestinian foods? Like, how did you kind of interpret your own, you know, culinary traditions for this month?
Oh, yeah. We, you know, what's great is that I'm half Palestinian, half Filipino. And so we get to venture off and try a lot of different things right at sunset because eating one type of food every single night can get really tiring and boring. So yeah, making things like chicken adobo or beef sinigang at iftar time, or even my father, who is remarried to an Afghan woman, we would make things like palau and just venture off. And then I have a Mexican restaurant, so we would make a lot of Mexican food, and it's fun. And the culinary aspect of it during Ramadan is that you cook together, your family's venturing off, trying new things, potlucks. It's, yeah, to answer your question.
Yeah. You know, Hisham, how do you think of your spiritual practice during this month?
I think it has to be super strong and in tune. You have to have faith that you're going to, when working in the restaurant industry, having to start super early, you have to believe that what you're doing is forefront. And Reem understands, I'm sure, we have to start super early before sunset. We have to eat as much as we can, but then we have to go straight to work. So all we have while the sun is out is our faith towards Allah, towards God, to help push us through not being able to eat or drink and stay patient and fast and work and feed others. Mm. So it is at the forefront. My faith is at the forefront, trying to get through these hours.
Yeah. Reem, how do you sort of interpret this month and your own, you know, internal spiritual practice?
I often joke, I'm a chef anyways, we forget to eat until late in the evening. So the only difference is now I think one of the things that really stuck with me growing up, my father was really religious. I didn't grow up in such a religious family, but he was really spiritual. And one of the things he always told me was that, like, if you're not abstaining from all of the other things that are not serving you, you might as well be hungry. Like the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that. And that always stays with me. So for me, it's not just abstaining from food, but it's the practice of abstaining from the practices. You know, we all have them, the practicing wise speech, really being cognizant of whether we're causing harm, you know, intentionally or unintentionally. So for me, you know, my interpretation of this month is really about, you know, my spiritual purpose is to feed people, in every sense. Right. And so I really lean into that in this month. I love Ramadan, when it comes around, because there are foods that only pop up during the month of Ramadan. And I get to share that with my community. I remember when I was growing up fasting in school, and the kids didn't understand, like the best part was my mom coming in and doing a demo of like these dishes, like atayef, you know, which is like a pancake dumpling stuffed with cheese and walnuts and drenched in syrup. Like, you only get that during Ramadan. So anytime that that comes around. So yeah, these kind of special traditions that are like gateways into my roots. I love that. But yeah, I think for me, it's a time of just being much more intentional about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, and, you know, how people are receiving it, you know.
Do you think it changes?
So yeah, it's a really great time.
Do you think in the month, does it change your relationship to food during that month, or, you know, kind of in the time around it the rest of the year?
I think, you know, being a lover of food, I appreciate food a lot more now. It's the sacred act of enjoying food more so than anything, that I really, I think, you know, I think changes, you know, it's a good reminder. But yeah. I think, you know, the act of the food is just a tool for us. You know, I remember going to, you know, I got the privilege of going to the Arab world during Ramadan in 2010. Mm-hmm. And that was an experience, because it's also the act of rest. The whole world shut, all of Syria shut down during those months of fasting. And when the sun came down, there was like not a car on the street, even you couldn't find a cab, you know? So it's just like the act of resting, being with the family, slowing down, a break from capitalism. That's my personal interpretation. So I think it changes my relationship more so to work, right? And why I'm in the profession that I'm in.
That's so interesting. We're talking about Ramadan, the month during which observant Muslims who are able fast from dawn to sunrise, among other spiritual practices. And we're kind of looking at the culinary traditions and how this spiritual reset impacts a person's relationship to food. We're joined by Reem Aseel, chef, author, and activist, owner of Reem's California, author of the cookbook Arabia, and a James Beard nominee for Outstanding Chef. We're also joined by Hisham Abdel Fattah, founder and owner of El Halal Amigos, a Mexican restaurant located in Willow Glen neighborhood in San Jose. As always, for All You Can Eat, we are joined by Luke Tsai, KQED's food editor. And we'd love to hear from you. What's your favorite culinary memory that you associate with Ramadan? Or maybe how has Ramadan changed your relationship to food or community or work, as Reem was just saying? You can give us a call. The number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. The email's forum at kqed.org. And you can find us on all the social media things. We're KQED Forum there. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more right after the break.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We're talking about Ramadan. We're talking about fasting. We're talking about breaking the fast. This is, of course, a holy month for observant Muslims, and those who are able fast from dawn to sunrise. And so we're looking at some of the culinary traditions that arise there. We're joined by Reem Asil, owner of Reem's California, author of the amazing cookbook Arabiya, where I learned to make bread. We're also joined by Hisham Abdel Fattah, founder and owner of El Halal Amigos, a Mexican restaurant located in Willow Glen neighborhood in San Jose. And of course, because this is an all-you-can-eat, we've got Luke Tsai, KQED's food editor. We'd love to hear from you. What's a favorite culinary memory that you associate with Ramadan or your family? What's your iftar table look like for breaking the fast? We'd love to hear that. You can give us a call. The number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can email those answers to forum at kqed.org, or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or KQED Forum. I wanted to ask you, Hisham, I mean, you're Filipino-Palestinian, and you've embraced your Muslim faith. But in doing so, you also ended up wanting to have Mexican food that you couldn't because it wasn't halal. So can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, how you got to El Halal Amigos? And then we can talk a little bit more about Ramadan.
I've always enjoyed cooking Mexican food for the past 15 years. It's my favorite food, favorite culture, favorite all of that, being a Filipino-Palestinian. Now, I love my culture. I love my background. I love my parents. But, you know, being here in San Jose, California, traveling to LA a lot, being immersed in the Northern California Mexican traditions, it was just always in front of me. And when I dove into Islam, 8-9 years ago, I found myself not being able to eat tacos at a taco truck. And and I think at the time I was working for a Mexican concept, and I just got this idea like, hey, let's do a taco truck that was fully halal, but authentic to the Mexican traditions and Mexican food. And had traveling to Mexico a few times, I really wanted to bring all that out here for something for everyone. Mm-hmm. And then when I had this idea, I had the business plan going. When 2020 hit, we got locked down. A lot of my close friends I cooked with in the kitchen couldn't receive financial, you know, aid or help. And mm-hmm. I just said, you know what, guys, I don't have a lot of money, but we're going to do this. We're going to open a food truck and, you know, everything is going to be for us and for you so we can survive. And it really took off because the people that work with me and, you know, we cooked with our hearts, and we found ourselves having lines around the corner out in Fremont and around the corner. And it was a lot of fun. And we just did it. And we're still doing it. We're still figuring it out. And this is how we are.
So, you know, what makes going halal difficult in Mexican food?
Well, you don't typically associate the two, although there are a lot of Mexican Muslims out there that we should recognize. And there are Mexican halal places out there. But, it's not really trendy yet. And so it was a niche.
And it also seems like, right, like that because lard and pig fat is like
definitely
a component, then you can't use that in a bunch of the things that would definitely otherwise be, right? You have to find these kind of substitutes.
Oh, yeah. You have to, you just have to pivot and you have to work with what you got. I mean, something we use for in place of lard or using manteca or using a halal manteca is you know you can find it in brisket. We have a brisket barbacoa. You know, we can trim the fat, you know, simmer it down and use that for lard or our halal lard, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah.
But you know, halal manteca. So there's things we do to pivot, but also create still the authentic flavors that, you know, we're accustomed to having.
Yeah. You know, Luke Tsai, as we hear Hisham talk, I mean, this feels like it's really firmly in the intersection of what the Bay Area really creates, this incredible, rich, multicultural new traditions out of all of these incredible ancient ones.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think you know, when we look at the halal food scene in the Bay Area, it's the same thing we see all over the Bay Area food scene. Just these wonderful sort of cross-cultural undercurrents that happen really organically, just as a result of Bay Area people growing up and appreciating foods from all of these different cultures. Like, I love Hisham's story of being Palestinian Filipino person who fell in love with Mexican food. And I remember the first time I heard of El Halal Amigos was very early on during the rise of the whole quesabirria trend here in the Bay Area, right? The listeners probably by this point are familiar with those cheesy beef birria tacos that now you see everywhere. But back in 2020, there was only a handful of places where you could find them. And one of them was this like halal food truck in Fremont, you know, and I just love that, you know. And I think, you know, Hisham's doing like more or less traditional Mexican food, right? But we also in the Bay Area, we see like more fusion-y expressions of that too. Like just the other day, for the first time, I went to this spot called Afghan Burrito in West Berkeley, where you get these like huge overstuffed burritos, right? But they're made like the meats have Afghan seasoning. The rice is like Afghan rice. It's halal friendly. They have this like secret golden sauce that they put on everything that they like, they guard the recipe with their life. Like I asked them and they wouldn't even tell me one ingredient that goes in it. You have businesses like Shawarmaji, which is one of my favorite shawarma spots, this Jordanian shawarma place in Oakland. And the chef and owner of that business, I know Reem's very familiar. They do all these cool collaborations where they kind of loan out their shawarma spit and allow chefs from all these different cultural backgrounds to kind of create their own version. So I think, you know, when you're looking at halal food, food of Muslim people in the Bay Area, it just has all of this great sort of multicultural, cross-cultural connections that I love about the Bay Area.
Yeah, we're talking about.
If I could just,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, if I could just add, like, the fact that we are one of the few places that serve halal food means that we're like a special haven for people who only eat halal, you know, and that is really special because we remind people of home. And that is kind of one of the core tenets at Reem's and what brings us a lot of joy to be that, you know, be able to serve that niche population of folks from all different backgrounds.
Have you found it difficult, Reem, to like build out the sort of supply networks that you need in order to be able to do that day in, day out?
You know, surprisingly, no, halal has become a lot more accessible, halal meats, and approachable. And, you know, if we can, maybe Hisham and I can collaborate on building a halal farm that is hyper-local, that would be the next step. But yeah, I think more and more people are moving towards halal, also just because it's of the health benefits. It's a more, you know, that halal is used to describe the way in which animals are, slaughtered for eating. And it's a spiritual act and it's a humane act. So in and of itself, it's a spiritual thing. And so people who are eating with their values and shopping with their values, I think, kind of align with that. So Muslims and non-Muslims alike.
We're talking about Ramadan, the month during which observant Muslims who are able fast from dawn to sunset, among other spiritual practices. We're joined by Reem Asil, chef, author, activist, owner of Reem's California, author of the cookbook Arabia. We're also joined by Hisham Abdel Fattah, founder and owner of El Halal Amigos, Mexican restaurant in San Jose. And let's bring in some callers. We've got Lubna. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I love your show, and thank you for doing a special show about Ramadan. I appreciate that. I just wanted to talk about how when I was growing up, I was growing up in the local Bay Area, Palo Alto, there was a really small Muslim community, and we'd invite each other, and it was just a small amount of people, and the moms would cook just the foods that were familiar to us. And one of the dishes was pakoras, and I never really learned about it or wanted to really learn how to make it. It's like this Indian fritter dish. It's really delicious, and it's
served with chutney.
Yeah, it's served with chutney, and now people even like it with ketchup. It's pretty funny. But when I had kids, I decided I better learn this because I wanted to also invite people over and kind of celebrate the month and serve something that I grew up with. And now, of course, the community is much bigger. Muslims around us, or you know, our parties are much bigger. But it's that just that feeling is just more the feeling, and it's the food, but it's also the feeling of being able to kind of break fast with other people at the same exact moment.
And how do you handle those the early mornings that Reem was talking about talking to us earlier about?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's definitely not the easiest to wake up, and you definitely do want to eat something and drink something because it's hard to skip that meal and go on with it. And plus, you should. And also, so basically, you know, just kind of I don't get up. I don't stop drinking caffeine. I just drink it in the early morning. I have a little bit of headache medicine, Advil, that really helps me, and then that usually helps me get through the day. But it's hard to be motivated to eat when there's no light outside, definitely.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Lubna, for sharing that experience. You know, Reem, you know, she brought up her children. I know you got a little one at home. How do you see, you know, transmitting, you know, not just like the foods or the traditions, but some of the ideas? Like, how have you tried to like package that up?
My child is 5, but he's going on 40. So it's funny to kind of explain Ramadan to him. I've been starting to describe it. And I think the best way, you know, I mean, one of the things at the end of Ramadan is the reward that you get, which is the Eid al-Fitr, in which families get together and children get gifts. And, you know, it's really, that's really celebratory because you've all been through a month of struggle together. So, I focus on the hard work. And then at the end, you get this whole celebration. And I think that's fun for him to hear. I love that Hisham is Palapino. My son is Palapino. And that's really exciting for me to, you know, be able to teach him not just the traditions of Arab food ways, but also Filipino food ways. This is unfortunately he is at an age where he doesn't eat much, but it's a chance. We did a cooking show for a refugee fundraiser for the Syria earthquake, and we made atayef together. So he loves pancakes, so he got to see that and understand that that is actually a food of his culture. So, you know, slowly but surely. And I'm sure as he gets older and gets into school and practices fasting, I remember I was 7 years old. I was a real overachiever. You know, in the Muslim faith, you when you're kind of a technical adult, I think kids start fasting whole days at 13. But I was really ambitious, and I, you know, wanted to start with half days. And my parents were like, you don't have to do that. Like, I really, you know, wanted to take on the challenge. And I kind of have a feeling my son is going to be the same way because we're from the same cloth. So it'll be fun to watch him growing up. And yeah, I think it is hard in these, you know, sometimes, you know, we want the village, but it can be very isolating in America. Yeah. So we have to really be intentional about how we create those spaces, especially if our children come from several different backgrounds.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm really committed to doing. And there are a lot of Muslims in the Philippines too. So there's like a very specific Muslim Filipino culture, I think, that, you know, we have yet to learn about.
Yeah. We're talking about the holy month of Ramadan, during which observant Muslims who are able fast from dawn to sunset. I misspoke earlier and said sunrise. Obviously, it wouldn't be the same kind of a challenge and spiritual practice to go from dawn to sunrise, dawn to sunset. And we're looking at some of the Ramadan culinary traditions and how this kind of spiritual reset impacts people's relationship to food and their cultures. Joined by Reem Asil,
Hisham Abdel Fattah and Luke Tsai, KQED food editor. And we're also taking your calls on your favorite culinary memories associated with Ramadan. Or maybe you can tell us what your iftar table looks like here in our extremely multicultural Bay Area. You can give us a call. The number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. The email is forum@kqed.org. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're KQED Forum. Hisham, I wanted to ask you about what your restaurant does, you know, kind of to adjust operations during the month of Ramadan.
Oh, yeah. We prepare weeks in advance to stay open later. So several things that happen is that educating my team, majority are not Muslim, and a lot of them are on board and they love it. That it's a fun, we make it a very fun thing. We prepare dates to give out during iftar. So right at 7 o'clock, we have a bunch of dates set up to hand out to anyone who needs to break fast. And then we stay open an extra hour throughout the week. And every weekend, so this Friday we'll be open till midnight. And on the weekend, this Saturday, we'll be open till 3 a.m. for sahur. Sahur is breakfast. And we will be able to give out things like halal breakfast burritos with halal beef bacon. And we're super excited we make it a fun atmosphere. And last year when we did this, and every year that we've done this, it's like a very fun, holy party. I mean, everyone comes and it's a line out the door down the street till 3 a.m. And, you know, we're working and we're ready.
Yeah. How many people, it really like is a ton of people show up at that time. How do you get the word out? Or is it just that word spreads because there's not that many places to sort of engage in this kind of communal experience?
Social media. We go on things like Bay Area Halal Foodies and we post there, which is on Facebook. It's a group that anyone can join. And then also Instagram, TikTok, it's all free marketing. And we put it out there. I throw my whole self out there and I'm like, hey guys, we're going to be open. Da, da, da. And it's a lot of, you know, it's fun to do, to make those videos and get people excited while they're hungry.
You know, Hisham, one of the funny things I was thinking, you're a guy who clearly like gets in the gym and works out. How do you do it during this time period? Like, is it difficult to like figure that out?
Oh man. Yes. the workout sessions go less during this time, but it was easier when I was younger, but when more young, I go usually after the first meal of iftar and then right after the prayer, and I'll work out at night. I try if I'm not a flat tire.
That's right, right. we are talking about the holy month of Ramadan, during which observant Muslims who are able fast from dawn to sunset, among other spiritual practices. Joined by Hisham Abdel Fattah, founder and owner of El Halal Amigos, Mexican restaurant located in the Willow Glen neighborhood there in San Jose. Also Reem Asil, chef, author, and activist, owner of Reem's California, author of the amazing cookbook Arabiya. And we're joined by Luke Tsai, KQED's food editor. Taking more calls after the break on sort of what does your iftar table look like? Or if you're part of a religious tradition that fasts, how do those time periods kind of change your relationship to your culinary traditions or food overall? You can give us a call. The number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more right after the break.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees, who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. We are talking about the food and fasting of Ramadan, joined by Reem Asil, chef, owner of Reims, California, author of the cookbook Arabia, Hisham Abdel Fattah, founder and owner of El Halal Amigos, and Luke Tsai, KQED food editor. Let's go to the phones. Mohammed in Sacramento, welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. I really love your show. It's a great show. I really appreciate it. Especially about, you're talking about Ramadan. It's actually, it's a month of discipline. Fasting is not only like abstaining from food and water and other activities, but actually teaches a Muslim discipline, mm-hmm. how to feel, how to adjust, give a break to the body, basically after working 11 months around the clock, and then just give it a break to the whole system, mm-hmm. digestive system a little bit. So it's not only as a spirituality, but it's actually discipline. It teaches discipline, it teaches perseverance, teaches how the other few people that they don't have anything to eat most of the days, and it gives us that opportunity to feel that kind of hunger and give us respect for those people as well. Mm-hmm. And during the iftar that we have is usually we have iftar every Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Sacramento area. We are serving around anywhere from 500 to 700 people. Wow. And it's amazing to see people from all different walks of life are coming, enjoying. It's just a very, it's a special moment, especially iftar, during iftar in Sahur. It's amazing experience. Mm-hmm. that people are experiencing. And in the past 2 weeks, several people converted to Islam, basically. They came in, they saw this, the gathering, the enjoyment, the jubilation, and the excitement. So it's a month of basically perseverance, discipline, respect. And this is from any point of view, we can talk. This is a month of a very month of first of all, the spirituality, because the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, and every mosque or masjid you go, people are praying. It's a long night prayers. People are reciting the Quran, which is very serene and peaceful. It gives a lot of peace into heart and mind, basically.
Hey, Mohammed, how did when you were growing up, how did your family observe Ramadan?
When I grew up, my family basically they observed Ramadan, and I started when I was 9. Basically, I started slowly, gradually. They taking fasting one day a week or 2 days a week, or gradually increased more. Basically, that's how I grew up with the Ramadan. It's very fun for me. It's very interesting. It's very peaceful. It's a very peaceful month, actually. It gives me a lot of gratification and peace and harmony brings in life.
Thank you so much for sharing your experience of this month with us, Mohammed. Really appreciate that, and thanks for
thank
for
you so
to
much.
Show.
And I really appreciate it. Wish you have a nice day.
One listener also wants to invite everyone to try out different Ramadan foods at Sahur Fest on Saturday night, April 8th, from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. That's down in Santa Clara. So Sahur Fest. Are you guys going to be there, Hisham?
Yes, we're gearing up the food truck to be at Sahur Fest at the MCA in Santa Clara on April 8th from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. There's going to be 8 other vendors there. It is a ton of fun. All halal foods, different types of cultured food, different types of anything from American to Mexican, which and brisket sandwiches. It's going to be fun. And we're gearing up for it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Reem, do you all do anything special at Reems, California during this time, or have you thought about it?
Yeah. So we, I am like really impressed by the South Bay folks. Y'all know how to do it. Cause it's like, it's like part of it is like Sahur is actually the all night eating and celebrating. Like, it just reminds me of the Arab world. So to be able to recreate that in the US is really fun. So I'm like some sparks are flying for me up in my head, but, at Reems, we always come out with Ramadan specials. So we have, things that pop up in our menu yearly, the Al-Tayef especially, which is the dumplings I was talking about. They're these pancakes that are stuffed with cinnamon and walnuts and orange blossom water and coconut, and they're fried and drenched in syrup, and they're just divine. We make those at my prep cook knows, like, 2 weeks before Ramadan. She's an atayef making machine. Those are available at Reams. And I'll say shout out to Shawarma G too, because they'll be available for East Bay folks over there. We're also rolling, we have Ramadan bread. So a lot of, you know, us special breads that are served during Ramadan that we're serving at the bakery for this month. So you can stock up on those special breads. And then we are starting something this year, special Ramadan iftar specials, dinners that are a little bit more hearty, traditional. This week, we're starting with a traditional Palestinian dish called musakhan, which is kind of the original format of our pali kali, which is a fun take on a beloved Palestinian dish for all Palestinians. But it's basically chicken legs brined in sumac for 24 hours in confit. It's like really delicious. And so we'll have that weekly special from Thursday to Saturday, and, you know, encouraging folks to make reservations at Reams. Next week, it'll be a lamb stew with yogurt sauce. And the
wait, what
third
was the name
week,
of the sumac
the most
chicken again? Reem?
Musakhan.
Musakhan.
Musakhan? Yeah. You know, we have the rendition of it called the Pali Cali, which is Palestine meets California. We throw some arugula and avocado and there you go. But next week it'll be a lamb stew. The third week, which is actually a really important week, it's like the home stretch of Ramadan. We're doing like a whole roasted fish. So really celebratory meal, dinner specials, and really encouraging. We want that iftar vibe at Reams. But that's a hur. Maybe I'm going to call up Shawarma G. Maybe we could do something
together.
Kind of match up the South Bay folks, because they know where it's at.
Yeah. Let's go to Amin in Santa Clara. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the call. Great subject, and thanks for talking about it. I want to talk about how Ramadan helps me and our family, especially to, in addition to getting disciplined about food, but also disciplined about time. So with all these extra devotional activities in the morning schedule, at night, our family spends a good 2 to 3 hours every night in this month at the local mosque with the extra prayers and stuff, and more so on the weekends. But for the most part, for our work, for school, we try to keep it at par, as in perform at the same level and deliver the tasks and what's due. So all the kind of the mindless looking at social media or whatever else kind of just gets auto curated. Huh. And at the end of the month, when all these extras are gone, I personally feel a huge productivity boost. I'm like, okay, I have all these extra hours and I can do so much more. Of course, through the next 11 months, that kind of goes back to quote unquote normal. I'd also like to share my favorite dish. It's not really a dish. It's actually a drink, a very simple drink, milk infused with this rose water called Ruh Afza. It comes from India and Pakistan. And it's an amazing drink. It's my kids love it. They call it the pink milk. super refreshing. And there are other incarnations of it also, but in the simplest form, it's just Ruh Afza, tablespoons in a cup of water, and that just makes up for the fast.
Yeah, I also had pink milk, but I think it was like Nestle strawberry milk, and what you're describing sounds far superior to what I thought of as pink milk growing up.
It's also a 100-year-old recipe. And believe it or not, there are people in the world who would swear by it. If your car breaks down and they put Ruh Afza in it, it'll start working.
I love that. I mean, thank you so much for the memories and also for just, you know, sharing your practice with us. You know, I mean, Reem, you kind of noted this a little bit earlier, but in different parts of the Muslim world, kind of the world itself adjusts to sort of make this easier and make the communal aspects kind of engage everyone. In the U.S., it's quite different, right? Because you have to kind of adapt your practice to the world in this other way.
Absolutely. I just remember, I mean, the stark memory I had was moving from you know, my hometown to college. And, you know, having to make that community, it's different when you're in the midst of finals. And at that time, it was the sun was setting at like 4 o'clock. It was really dark and dreary. And I was in the midst of the blizzards of Boston. So yeah, it's just, you have to really, really be intentional about making those spaces and finding the people. And it was really fun. You know, I joined the Arab Students Association and the Muslim Students Association, and they would just host these iftars, and it wouldn't just be Muslims. It would be non-Muslims as well. And it was kind of fun just being able to build community through that month. But you certainly have to be more intentional about it.
Yeah, for sure. Let's bring in Ali in Santa Clara. Welcome.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for having me here. Great topic. Very top of mind these days for all of us who are also trying to balance work and, you know, this part of life. So yeah, thank you for bringing this up. I totally plus one on the Ruh Afza part that Amin mentioned earlier. I think it's one of those things, and my kids also have a name for it. But yes, we totally wait for it, and it's one of those exciting moments when you break your fast and take that in. It really rejuvenates you. I also wanted to just highlight what fasting does, and you know, basically, it's you know, it creates, it helps you gain God consciousness, I feel, and that's what actually we've been told, that, you know, it gives you God consciousness. And also, fasting is the only form of worship, which is just like, you know, it's kind of invisible. It's just between you and God, and nobody can really observe that you're, you know, in an act of worship, because everything else that you have to do is sort of evident, be it charity, be it, you know, feeding others or anything like that. But for when it comes to fasting, it's just between you and God, and nobody knows that you're actually doing it. So it's pretty cool.
I love that. That's a beautiful way of thinking about it, Ali. Thank you so much for that. And it is something shared across so many different religious traditions. I'm loving hearing all these calls. We're going to keep Nadia in San Francisco. Welcome.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can. Go ahead.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having this show. This is awesome. I just wanted to share that I think you guys captured like the spirit and soul of Ramadan in this talk. And I wanted to share that we were five kids born and raised in SF, and we played a lot of sports. And my mom is an avid sports fan and was a soccer mom. So during Ramadan, fasting was not an excuse. So she would take us to all our games, and then she would sit in the stands and then tell us like it's time, and our coaches would know. So they would like either take us out, or be doing, you know, halftime or something. And then we would eat our dates, drink a bunch of water, have our power bars, and then go back in the game. And then afterwards, we would go home, feast, and then go to like the night prayer at the mosque, which a lot of the mosques in SF really serve as like community centers. So it was an opportunity for kids to stay up late and have a lot of fun. So I just wanted to share that, you know, there was, I think, depending on what city you grew up in, and, you know, what town, like your experience varies, and everyone has a twist to it depending on where they were and, yeah, and what they were doing in their life. So it was like spiritual and physical boot camp, but we knew it was only for a limited time. And yeah, it built a lot of stamina.
Nadia, what I love about it, too, is I think, you know, from the outside, maybe because it's about fasting, people think of the aspects of deprivation and like, you know, spiritual purification. But also so many kids remember it as such a fun time, too, and then pass that on through their families. I love that. Thank you, Nadia. Hey, Luke, you know, there's also a bunch of different kinds of restaurants. Not just, you know, ones that serve, you know, food from the Arab world, but all over the sort of Islamic diaspora. What are some of the others that people might want to know about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, you sort of nodded to the multicultural aspect of this, even just at the top of the hour, right? But I remember when I was living in Taiwan, one of my favorite restaurants was this halal beef noodle soup restaurant that served this like amazingly wholesome clear broth style of beef noodle soup and these like tortilla like flatbreads that you'd stuff full of shredded beef that was like so awesome. And so like here in the Bay Area too, we have like Muslim, we have Islamic Chinese restaurants. We have Uyghur restaurants with roots in like the Xinjiang region. We have like halal Indonesian restaurants, you know, just to shout out one specific spot. One of my favorite Chinese restaurants in San Francisco is Old Mandarin Islamic, which I think probably a lot of our readers are familiar with. There was just a really nice profile of them on Eater SF. And they've been open for 3 decades now, and they're very proud of that Muslim aspect of the restaurant. And if you want to eat, if you want to break fast with some delicious cumin spiced lamb, like that's the place to go. And I think in the Eater profile, the young sort of second generation owner talked about how they make these kind of date paste filled mochi that he specifically said are really popular for people who want to break fast during Ramadan. So I think, you know, this is a great time of year just to expand our vision of what Islamic food traditions might be and really of the whole Muslim world.
Yeah, yeah. Hisham, I mean, part of the Ramadan tradition is also to give back. It's part of kind of the spirituality of the month. What are you all doing if you're doing something around that?
Oh yeah, definitely. We started our business by giving back, but during Ramadan we give back tenfold. So we've partnered up with Islamic Relief USA with the help of Hanin, who is a representative, and we are giving back a portion of our proceeds for the whole month. So you come and eat at our restaurant, a portion of our proceeds is going to go to the massive earthquakes that happened in Turkey and Syria. Mm-hmm. And all of those victims that happened out there, it's terrible. And we need to always give back in order to receive, in order to move forward. So sadaqah is something that is big during Ramadan to share and to give. We try our best, even without Ramadan, to always know that, to inform our customers that whenever you eat at El Halal Amigos, there's something that we're giving back to.
Yeah. Reem, you want anything real quick you want to share on that score before we head out?
Yeah. I mean, we have our Aman Ushit Forward program where folks throughout the year have basically paid $10 to pay it forward for us to subsidize meals for disenfranchised communities. And we always have a big Ramadan meal that we partner with folks in the Tenderloin or the Arab Resource and Organizing Center to be able to provide those meals free of charge. So, and I'm going around doing a lot of earthquake relief right now. That's like where a lot of the attention is. And for Syrians, they're not getting that relief. So we need to make sure that we're taking care of them too.
Yeah. We've been talking about the holy month of Ramadan and its cultural and culinary traditions. We've been joined by Reem Asil, owner of Reem's California, author of the cookbook Arabia. Hisham Abdel Fattah has also joined us, founder and owner of El Halal Amigos, Mexican restaurant in San Jose. And we've had Luke Tsai, of course, because this is an edition of All You Can Eat. He's our KQED food editor. Thank you so much to all of our callers and listeners who shared their traditions with us. I really loved hearing that. You've been listening to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for another hour ahead with Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of KQED's Forum are provided by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Heising Simons Foundation.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.